This is the son of PCJ.
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, or to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea. They say it's not nutritious, but darn it, it's delicious, and that's all that matters to me. It turns your meat to leather. Well, let's all die together. The one drink in paradise is tea.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio, heard around the world. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'm Keith Perron, and I hope that over the next 55 minutes, you will be enjoying this special program. Why is this a special show? Well, this month, Happy Station celebrates its 84th anniversary on the air, and we're bringing you a couple of very special programs. Today, we're going to be delving into the archives for a special broadcast that Radio Netherlands aired on March 30th, 1977. What is it all about? Well, you'll have to stay tuned and find out. By the way, I should mention that at the end of the month, we're going to be announcing the winners of the PCJ contest that we have running, where you can actually come to Taipei. Some of the other prizes also include some shortwave receivers. You can find the information, of course, at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. Let's begin right away with Culture Club and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Here on Happy Station.
Give me a time to realize my crime. Let me love and steal. We'll be right back.
been talking about, believe me. If it's true, you do not know.
Club, and do you really want to hurt me, beginning today's program. Well, the month of March, we're going to be presenting some specials for the 84th anniversary, right up until when we announce who the winners are of the PCJ contest that we have running, where two people can win a trip here. We also have a couple of ATS 909Xs that we're giving away, and some Texan S2000 receivers. You can find all the details at our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and you have right until the final day to get your entries in. And who knows, you, that's right, you listening right now, may be coming to Taiwan, and we'll have a personal tour of Taipei by myself. So, like I said, just go to our website for the details, and you have right until the final hour for the first transmission of this program to get your entries in. Now, one of the special programs that we're presenting today is from 1977, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it after we take a listen to this from Billy Bragg. Greetings to the new brunette.
Shirley, it's quite exciting to be sleeping here in this living. Shirley, you're my reason to get out of bed before noon. Shirley, you know when we sat out on the fire escape talking. Shirley, what did you say about running before we were walking? Sometimes when we're as close as this, it's like we're in a dream. How can you lie there and think of England when you don't even know who's in the team? Surely, sexy politics has left me all over muddled. Surely, we're joined in the ideological cuddle. I'm celebrating my love for you with a pint of beer and a new tattoo. And if you haven't noticed yet, I'm more impressionable when my cement is wet. Politics and pregnancy are divided as we empty our glasses. Evening classes.
Surely you really know how to make a young man angry. Surely can we get through the night without mentioning family? The people from your church agree it's not much of a career trying the handles of parked cars. Whoops, there goes another year. Whoops, there goes another pint of beer.
Greetings to the new brunette, Billy Bragg. On March 30th, 1977, Radio Netherlands Worldwide celebrated 50 years of international broadcasting from Holland. Now, Radio Netherlands as a station didn't begin until after World War II, but the history goes back further than that, in the late 1920s, 30s, and early 40s. In fact, Happy Station was created in the late 1920s by Eddie Starts. This is a fascinating look at the early days of international broadcasting. The program aired, like I said, March 30th, 1977, and we bring it to you now.
Thirty years ago today, Stichting Radio Nederland Wereldomroep was set up in The Hague, not the first Dutch shortwave service, but a new private foundation backed by Dutch government encouragement and money with the task of overseas broadcasting. Radio Nederland's first director, Hendrik van den Broek.
There are really two reasons for the existence of Radio Nederland, and we do our work in two ways. Through our foreign language transmissions, and through our transcription service, which produces and records programs on any phase of Dutch life and culture, we try to tell the rest of the world about life in the Netherlands, our institutions and traditions. The other reason for our existence is our broadcasts in the Dutch language. As you know, many thousands of our countrymen emigrate each year to find a new life in a strange land. It's our aim, in our Dutch broadcasts, to supply a link between the homeland and the new country, to try to ease the shock of the completely new environment by providing news and entertainment straight from home. I am confident that in the years to come, we will continue to further our activities along both these lines, to the mutual benefit and understanding of all.
The late Hendrik van den Broek speaking in 1955. But to find the origins of Dutch overseas broadcasting, we have to go back 50 years to 1927, the pioneering year of shortwave telephony. Telephony, the transmission of the human voice via shortwave. Shortwave telegraphy was already an established fact. There was a telegraph shortwave link between Holland and the East Indies. But some British radio amateurs were convinced that one could transmit the human voice in wavelengths below 100 meters, then considered technically impossible. In the early 1920s, British and American amateurs proved that a transatlantic link was possible, and a Dutch engineer, Mr. White, returned to the Philips Laboratories in 1925, enthusiastic about the prospect. Under Dr. Balt van der Pol, the Philips engineers created a 300-watt transmitter which broadcast to Europe on 90.56 meters in 1926. They broke the 100-meter barrier. They continued to reach for even shorter wavelengths for use by the human voice.
For the second time in the short history of broadcasting, it has been left to Holland to steal a march on this country and, in fact, on Europe generally. The station PCJJ, established at the Philips Lamp Laboratories at Eindhoven in Holland, communicated by wireless telephony with the Dutch station at Bandung in the Dutch East Indies. The transmission was carried out on a wavelength of approximately 30 meters. Since that initial success, fairly regular broadcasting has been conducted. Now, as we go to press, comes the announcement that the Sydney station 2BL has successfully rebroadcast one of the programs. It will be of interest to observe whether the example set by Holland will be followed by other countries in Europe.
An editorial in the British radio amateur magazine Wireless World on April 27, 1927. But what lies behind this story? Well, the Philips engineering team had torn down their 300-watt transmitter in 1926 and rebuilt it to operate at 25 kilowatts at around 30 meters. In Bandung, Java, Mr. A.C. de Groot, a radio amateur with the call sign PK1, was an official of the Dutch East Indies PTT, and he was DXing in the night of 11th-12th March 1927, hoping to pick up some Morse code signals from Holland. The airwaves in the 30 to 36-meter bands were filled with the code signals of Australian brass pounders pumping out 300 to 400 watts trying to reach England, and their activity didn't slow down until well past midnight. The Australians were still filling the frequencies on which Mr. de Groot had hoped to hear Holland. But suddenly, he picked up a carrier wave that was steady, stable, firm, no distortion, no frequency modulation. A solid fix of a transmitter de Groot had never heard before. And it was transmitting music. Music as clear as a phonograph. On short wave. But no station call. If music could be broadcast so clearly, obviously voice could be as well. So why didn't they talk? Well, at 3:30 in the morning, de Groot found out who was broadcasting. The music stopped, and a voice said in Dutch, "This is an experimental transmission from the Philips Laboratory in Eindhoven, Holland, on 30.2 meters. A voice from home. De Groot sent a confirmation telegram to Eindhoven, and shortwave telephony was a fact, with an experimental transmitter of 25 kilowatts. World News. News, but also the beginning of a whole new world of broadcasting. Overseas, international, spanning boundaries, linking people in remote corners of the world. PCJJ was an experimental transmitter, and it was joined in the shortwave bands later in 1927 by the General Electric Company's transmitter 2XAF across the Atlantic. Its relay of a program from WGY Schenectady was received in Australia on 32.77 meters. But Holland was the pioneer in Europe. And in April, Mr. A.F. Philips, director of the Philips Company, addressed the Dutch colonies in the East and West Indies over PCJJ, pointing out the obvious advantages of shortwave telephony for the scattered colonies of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. But Mr. Philips, a sharp businessman, saw a bit more in PCJJ than just that, because it had within it the seed of a new sort of program service. And soon the NV-FOE was set up, a limited liability commercial company with the backing of the largest Dutch companies with colonial interests, banks, rubber, tobacco, shipping, and so on. The NV-FOE, which stood for Philips Omroep Holland India, asked the Dutch government for full broadcasting authority to maintain links between the homeland and its colonies and to provide the overseas Dutch with daily direct contact with the events and culture of Holland on a commercial basis.
Your readers, who have listened to PCJJ, have no doubt noticed that the station is being used for propaganda purposes on behalf of the company which runs it.
A letter published in Wireless World on May 11, 1927. What would you have heard on PCJJ back in 1927? Well, much the same as today. Recorded music, speeches by government officials and businessmen, music by the Philips Company Brass Band. But PCJJ also relayed a program from the BBC's domestic station 2LO, proving to the British that they too could have their own British Empire service. And that caused quite a stir in Britain. The lion scoop by the little Dutch farmer. PCJJ pulled off a double shortwave coup on May 31, 1927, by broadcasting the first ever live address by a reigning monarch when Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands spoke to the colonies in the West Indies. That was followed by a performance of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony from the Amsterdam Concertgebouw, a bit of which you've already heard, and then in the early hours of June 1, 1927, the Dutch monarch spoke to the colonies in the East Indies. And that caused quite a stir around the world, too. The Americans stirred up as much interest by broadcasting live the arrival of Charles A. Lindbergh in New York City. And later, the BBC started to experiment with shortwave telephony from Chelmsford. Until 1933, shortwave broadcasting in Holland went through some changes. PCJJ had to be moved north to Huizen near the Zuider Zee because it was interfering with other Philips experiments. The NV Foey went on the air for some months, but then it had to go dark for lack of broadcasting permit and money. The Dutch domestic broadcasting societies wanted to have shortwave broadcasting put under the same umbrella regulations as was domestic broadcasting. They did not want to leave it in the hands of a private commercial company. There was a great deal of parliamentary debate and political problems. From 1933 to 1940, however, the NV Foey and PCJJ did broadcast to the colonies and the world under a 10-year broadcasting permit issued after a great deal of parliamentary debate and private negotiations. The Dutch government created a study commission for international broadcasting in 1937, however, to come up with a more workable plan, pleasing to all factions, for a new Netherlands overseas service. That study commission produced its plan in 1939. It called for a private, non-profit foundation which would be made up of all the domestic broadcasting societies and with a small staff of its own, a solution not unlike Radio Nederland today. But before that plan could be put into practice, Holland was invaded by the Germans in May 1940. For 4 days, PCJJ broadcast to the world the events of the invasion, but the end came very soon. Engineer Martin Raus was there.
We had started to Wilhelmus for the opening of the transmission in the late afternoon, and then got word that Eddie Starts had been arrested. This was afternoon of May 13, 1940. We played two records because no one knew what to do. Then we closed down. That was the last broadcast before the Germans reached Huizen. Then we got orders to blow up the installation. We blew up the 19 and 31 meter transmitter, turned off PCJ's water cooling equipment, which quickly ruined the tubes. Then we fired pistol shots into the oil tanks of the transformers and broke the dials and meters with a broomstick. The Dutch army engineers blew up one of the famous rotating antenna towers, thinking it would fall into its mate and destroy both. But it just hung there, half destroyed. Then we had to get out of there.
Eddie Starts, the creator of the Happy Station in 1928 for PCJJ, in fact was anti-Nazi, but he was born in Aachen, Germany, and so was detained under the wartime emergency. He was quickly released, but not to broadcast over PCJJ in the Foey. The destroyed installation was not beyond repair, and the Germans later used PCJJ and the rotating antenna towers to broadcast false propaganda, a station identifying itself as the Voice of Free India, broadcasting in Hindi. But that's not where Dutch shortwave broadcasting ended. Paris and London took over where Hilversum ended. Wartime, in fact all times of trouble, puts radio into a new position of importance. Before the Second World War, Holland had maintained a position of strict neutrality in the face of the growing fascist menace, and that meant that PCJJ and FOEY were forbidden to broadcast anything that remotely resembled propaganda. It wasn't mere chance that Eddie Starts called his program the happy station of a friendly nation, PCJ, Peace, Cheer, and Joy. War changed that. It also brought new people into Dutch broadcasting. Hendrik van den Broek, Radio Nederland's first director, had been a newspaper correspondent in Paris before the war. The invasion of Holland left him and his fellow journalists in Paris cut off from home. A group of them obtained permission to take over the French radio's Dutch-language program, which they called Vrij Nederland, Free Netherlands. That program lasted less than a month before the German invasion of Paris. In its last days, Vrij Nederland's program was relayed to the Far East on the French shortwave service in Saigon. Over in London, the Dutch government in exile created in late 1940 Radio Oranje, the official voice of the Dutch government. Radio Oranje was joined in 1941 by a special program for Dutch seamen, De Brandaris, and wartime propaganda broadcasting began. Dutch journalist broadcaster Bob den Dollard in one program addressed himself to the subject, sabotage.
En nu? Loopt Europa niet weer op houten zolen? Hebben de tirannen niet weer het leger ook? En de koeien, boter en melk, steenkool en koren? En of ze het weten of niet, al deze miljoenen die op klepperende zolen hun leven verslijten in de gevangenis Europa, zijn één groot geweldig leger van saboteur!
I personally listened all the time. As soon as I knew that they were on the air, I had a radio set hidden in the attic. Nobody could find it except myself. And every evening I tuned it. It was tuned to the BBC, you know, permanently. So I switched it on and listened to whatever they had to tell. Boy, it was such a relief to know that these people still cared for us in occupied Holland.
How long each day did they broadcast?
Oh, approximately 20 minutes off and on. Sometimes it was garbled, of course. It was jammed, but... We could make out what was being said.
En vader streelde de kinderen voor zij weghuppelden naar een school, waar vrij gebeden werd tot God, waar vrij gezongen werd van liefde tot het vaderland.
Eventually, newspaper correspondent Hendrik van den Broek became head of Radio Oranje. This also later made him head of the government's radio service. And when the south of the Netherlands was liberated in the autumn of 1944, Van den Broek created in Eindhoven a station called Herazend Nederland on the grounds of the Philips Company. When some months later the whole of the Netherlands was liberated in May 1945, Van den Broek moved his operation up to Hilversum, and soon its programs were relayed via the BBC shortwave transmitters. Meanwhile, the Dutch PTT crew was working hard to reassemble the PCJJ transmitter. The Germans had components scattered from Hilversum down to The Hague. PCJJ was put back on the air in October 1945, and shortwave broadcasting from the Netherlands was resumed after a lapse of 5 years. That Dutch language program of October 13, 1945, featured the famous voices of Radio Oranje, Van den Broek, who broadcast as De Rotterdammer, Bob den Dollard, who you've just heard, Lou de Jong and George Slauser. The program's message was simple and appropriate to war-torn Holland. We're back in our own country, masters again, the war is won, let's get Holland back on its feet. In those last months of 1945, one of PCJ's most important program segments was the family message. The family de Witt seeks any information about Private Johannes de Witt, last heard of, and so on. But the war had disrupted the broadcasting world in Holland itself. There was a strong movement to create from the ashes a new broadcasting organization, a national organization, something like the BBC. That radio battle took 18 months to settle, and in the end, broadcasting in Holland was returned with some modifications to the pre-war situation of many broadcasting societies. Where did that leave Radio Nederland, an overseas service with really no pre-war history? As before the war, the domestic societies pressed for a policy decision that would put overseas broadcasting on the same basis as domestic broadcasting, all time divided among the various broadcasting societies. Hendrik van den Broek, a committed proponent of a national broadcasting service, fought this tooth and nail. And after weeks of hard negotiations, he convinced the cabinet ministers that there should be a private, non-profit foundation created to operate the Dutch overseas service. Stichting Radio Nederland Wereldomroep, created on April 15, 1947, was the result. But Radio Nederland did have some links with pre-war Dutch shortwave. Eddie Starts resumed his Happy Station broadcasts, then twice a week, starting in late 1945. Some of the pre-war writers and broadcasters joined Radio Nederland, but the new station had a number of political battles as hard to win as the Second World War. In the 1930s, Dutch shortwave concentrated on programs for the colonies in the East and West Indies. After 1945, the Dutch East Indies became important in a new way. Indonesian nationalism was very strong. An Indonesian republic under Sukarno had been proclaimed even before PCJ returned to the air in October 1945. So on May 1st, 1946, Radio Nederland did something unthinkable before the war. It began broadcasting programs in Bahasa Indonesian, Radio Nederland's first foreign language service. Its purpose was to keep contact, especially with students and leaders of Indonesia in their own tongue, try to maintain friendly ties between Holland and Indonesia. A war of independence was on. Was Radio Nederland broadcasting propaganda? In a way, but propaganda in the form of clear news about rather confused events. Radio Nederland tried to assert itself as a private broadcasting service, something related to but not part of the Dutch government. A rather tricky job of tightrope walking. After mail service was resumed between Holland and Indonesia, it appeared that Radio Nederland had done its job well. But in the late 1940s, Holland's World War II allies were bringing pressure on the Netherlands to divest itself of its colonial possessions in the East. Queen Wilhelmina finally resolved the issue.
Colonialism is dead. We do not disown our past and the proud achievements of bygone days. But a nation must be strong enough to make a new beginning. We shall be strong enough.
Radio Nederland had served well. Bahasa Indonesian was joined in 1947 by a skeleton English and Spanish service, in 1949 by Arabic and Afrikaans. But it was still operating on the antiquated PCJ transmitter of 35 kilowatts and two 5-kilowatt emergency transmitters. The staff of six in 1945 had grown to more than 150, housed in a few converted mansions in Hilversum. And in the tough post-war years of Marshall Plan help, it must have been a miracle to get even the small 40-kilowatt transmitter, which the Queen inaugurated in late 1949. The government had made it known in 1951 that Radio Nederland could help out in the Western broadcasting effort of the Cold War by transmitting a program into the Iron Curtain countries. So Radio Nederland instituted a French service for Eastern Europe, but received no extra money and no letters from behind the Iron Curtain, and the whole experiment was dropped after 11 months. And it took more than a few years before Radio Nederland could take delivery of the necessary 100-kilowatt transmitters vital in the growing density in the shortwave bands. By the late 1950s, Radio Nederland put three 100-kilowatt transmitters into service and obtained a piece of land on which to build a new studio and office complex. That was opened in 1960 on the Witte Krauslaan. And the decade of the 1960s saw the stabilization of Radio Nederland the end of the post-war period of fevered improvisation, experimentation, and making do. The management saw that obtaining 500 kilowatt transmitters, quickly becoming necessary to reach around the world from Holland, was out of the question. So it decided to move the transmitters closer to the listener by setting up relay stations in the Caribbean and the Indian Ocean, Bonaire and Madagascar. Now more people could hear Eddie Starts clearly.
Hola, hola, señoras, señoritas y señores de habla castellana. Aquí la estación de la alegría y del buen humor en Hilversum, Holanda. Allô, allô, chers auditeurs et auditrices dans le monde entier où on parle et comprend la jolie langue française. Ici vous appelle la Happy Station, le poste joyeux dans les Pays-Bas. Hello, hello, friends and listeners everywhere. This is the Happy Station of Radio Nederland, Hilversum in Holland. And is everybody happy? That's good. Don't forget to keep in touch with the Dutch and let us hear about reception today. And now, as usual, I'm inviting you to our traditional nice cup of tea in your kind company.
I like a nice cup of tea.
But time was moving inexorably. Eddie Starts retired. The Happy Station was taken over by Tom Meyer. More broadcasters retired or left, many to take on important positions at home. Today, only a handful of the old-timers are left at Radio Nederland, and the station's programming ideas have changed too. No longer just keep in touch with the Dutch, as Starts used to say, but Radio Nederland has become a real informational service for the direct and immediate benefit of people around the world. From its ancestry in colonial broadcasting to nationalistic wartime broadcasting, and then an economics booster, Radio Nederland has come into maturity. That's the program side. But where do we go from here in technology? Will shortwave transmissions become obsolete in the coming years? Here's Radio Nederland's technical expert, Jim Fastenhout.
You could expect a slow decline of the interest in shortwave radio, shortwave broadcasting, due to the growth of television and FM broadcasting and also the satellite television, which satellite television directly to the homes, which will come around 1985. FM broadcasting and television are regional things, and they are still growing in the world. We've seen this process in South America. Now it goes to Africa and to Asia. And this means that the interest of the people is likely to be shifting from the less reliable reception on shortwave. This, of course, excludes the remote areas where shortwave will always remain important. Now, the facts are contrary to the expectations. If you look at the annual growth of shortwave, powerful shortwave transmitters for international services, you'll see that never have the transmitter factories being so booked with orders for various countries. And the annual growth of shortwave transmitters in the world is about 5%, which means that we get more and more shortwave broadcast transmitters on the air.
Not just replacements of old ones, but these are new services, new transmitters.
There's an entire new generation of shortwave broadcasters, especially in oil countries. Hmm. Let's mention Nigeria, Venezuela, Brazil, Saudi Arabia, Egypt to a certain extent. They all plan new and powerful shortwave broadcast transmitters where they had almost nothing in the past. Hmm. And this means that shortwave means something to a lot of people in terms of international broadcasting. Now you must realize that, of course, shortwave broadcasting is a real efficient means for worldwide propagation of signals. It's the only means to reach worldwide, for instance, into China, into Russia. So as a political means of broadcasting, it remains very, very important. And in fact, the importance of shortwave listening is suddenly increasing in times of tensions, political tensions in the world. Hmm. And this, of course, means that shortwave will be and will remain an important mass communications means, not only for the remote areas, but also in the next 15 years or so to come, I think that...
But it will have more competition from regional FM services and television.
Yes, especially in the towns. Mm-hmm. We expect to lose audiences. Unless, of course, sudden political tensions emerge, then everybody will suddenly turn to shortwave for more reliable, direct from the source information on the subject.
Menteri Perikanan Irlandia Patrick Donegan tanggal 31 Maret akan menyampaikan laporan kepada pemerintahnya yang harus menentukan apakah mereka akan mengeluarkan larangan secara sepihak bagi kapal-kapal berukuran lebih dari 33 meter untuk menangkap ikan di dalam wilayah 100 mil sekitar pantai Irlandia.
Esta es la emisora holandesa Radio Nederland transmitiendo desde Hilversum.
وبلغ عدد ضحايا ذلك الحادث 560 شخص. وبلغ عدد ضحايا ذلك الحادث 560 شخص.
Radio Nederland Wereld Omroep. Just one international service of some 1500. But we were here from the start, so stick around. As Eddie Starts used to say,
Don't forget to keep in touch with the Dutch.
We'll make it worth your while.
A special program from Radio Netherlands Worldwide that aired on March 30th, 1977, for the 50th anniversary of international broadcasting from the Netherlands. If you enjoyed that program, we would love to find out, and there's an easy way, of course, to let us know. Just send us an email, hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. If you'd like to listen to that program again, you can download it at our website, www.pcjmedia.com. That's www.pcjmedia.com. Time for music. Here's Alison Moyet with Nobody's Diary.
Just a second more. I know I'll forget what I came here for. My head was so full of things to say, but as I open my lips, all my words slip away. Move your life.
Alison Moyet, Nobody's Diary. We have time now for one more song. This is a request that came in from somebody asking me the question, Keith, do you know the movie Vincent and Me? If I'm not mistaken, I believe that came out more than 20 years ago. And the director's name, was Michael Rubo, or something like that. I can't remember for the life of me. But I do remember that when the film came out, and they wanted to hear, well, the song Vincent, you know, Starry, Starry Night. Here's Don McLean.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hills, sketch the trees and the daffodils. Catch the breeze and the winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue, colors changing hue. Morning fields of amber grain, weathered faces lined in pain, are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. Now I understand what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now, for they could not love you, but still your love was true. And when no hope was left in sight on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful. Starry, starry night, portraits hung in empty halls, frameless heads on nameless walls, with eyes that watch the world and can't forget, like the strangers that you've met. The ragged men in ragged clothes, a silver thorn, a bloody rose, lie crushed and broken on the virgin snow. Now I think I know what you tried to say to me, and how you suffered for your sanity, and how you tried to set them free. They would not listen, they're not listening still. Perhaps they never will.
Don McLean and Vincent. And with that, we've come to the end of this special edition of Happy Station. We have a bunch of other special programs for the month of March, so stay tuned for those. Once again, our email is hs@pcjmedia.com, and of course our website, for this program, as well as the other programs from PCJ, www.pcjmedia.com. So, on behalf of Kevin Lee and our production assistant, Johann Backer, this is Keith Parent saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.